Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Hesitation. Giannis drives right at Richardson, hammers it down with a monster right-hand slam. The Greek Freak bringing the thunder.
Butts Talk starts now.
Here's a catch and shoot three. Rollins, he answers. What a moment. A career high, 21 points.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Another efficient night for this Bucks offense, but maybe a little too close for comfort. As we've seen a couple of trends set in of late, the turnovers, offensive rebounds, certainly big parts of that. The other underlying trend has been the Bucks have created good looks offensively. We heard Doc after the game say, we're getting there. We're close to breaking out. We've heard him talk about this before earlier in the season in the depths of that 2-8 start, and we did see it. But for as efficient as the Bucks have been of late to lose those games and tonight to be in a nail-biter of sorts where you set a franchise record shooting 69% from the floor, that's one of those things. You'd love to see the margin much, much higher, but what's most important is you get the win tonight, knocking off the Phoenix Suns in the return of Mike Budenholzer to Milwaukee. I've seen a lot of things put out there with the Bucks social media post about Bud and his return here. I was sitting there in the press conference for Mike Budenholzer's time back here in Milwaukee and the questions that were asked and how he chose to address those. It was certainly an interesting night and very similar to what we saw things or how we saw things handled in Phoenix. But that's really one of the minor stories to this game. The big stories are the Bucks offense and Ryan Rollins, which, frankly, I don't think we've done a good enough job of really highlighting the job that Ryan Rollins has done and how good he has been for this team. He has been arguably the biggest bright spot in a stretch of play that has not given you many of those. Now 5-9 in your last 14 games, a four-game skid. Ryan Rollins has been, I suppose, along with Giannis, the constant through all of it. What you've seen on both ends of the floor from Ryan Rollins, and that certainly took another step forward tonight. 800-990-3776 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The Bucks snap the losing streak, and they do it on a night where the Atlanta Hawks also lose. So mathematically, it's not locked up. The Bucks are not guaranteed to finish in the top six, but you feel really good to have a five-game margin with seven games left to play. It's going to take a red-hot finish from the Atlanta Hawks and a pretty big collapse from the Bucks for the Bucks to be a part of the play-in tournament here that final that week between the regular season ending and the playoffs beginning. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As I mentioned, a lot to dig into. Another big game from Ryan Rollins. Big game from Giannis, and the return of Mike Budenholzer. So what was it like? How did Bud handle some of the questions that he got? We'll dig into that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Now Rollins going the other direction. Feeds it ahead to Kuzma. Back out top to Rollins. Bucks out in front 10-5. Lopez cranks up a three, and the birthday boy strikes again. He has scored the last five straight for Milwaukee. 13-5, Milwaukee is out in front.
Yeah, a historic shooting night tonight for the Bucks. You can't overstate it. They shoot just a shade under 69% tonight. It's the best shooting performance in franchise history. It's the most efficient shooting night that the league has seen in over 25 years when the Clippers shot just over 69% against the Raptors in March of 1998, and boy, I hate to get hyperbolic, but this would have been bordering on a disaster to lose a game where you're that efficient offensively on the heels of a game where you shot just under 90% in the first quarter against the Atlanta Hawks and only had a 7-point lead to show for it. You shot just under 70% through the first half and were trailing by seven. That's one of those trends you don't want to see start to continue and bubble up here for the Bucks. So, I mean, this was an important win for many reasons. To get back in the win column, to get some more separation between yourself and the number seven seed right now in the Eastern Conference, but to continue to see the things that you saw from Ryan Rollins is certainly a big piece to this one as well. Third consecutive game where Ryan Rollins has set a new career high in points. It's not as if it was three straight games of a rookie or first couple of games played scoring 5, 7, and 9 points. 23 points tonight from Ryan Rollins, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. You heard Doc Rivers really rave, and it's not just exclusive to tonight. Of late, we've heard more and more of this, really rave about the defense from Ryan Rollins and what he enabled this Bucks team to do to get the Phoenix Suns out of sorts here. Ryan Rollins was absolutely huge tonight, and you know, I mentioned, I don't think we are really mentioning this enough. I've talked about it before, how it changes your potential playoff matchups. I'm not going to try to advocate that the Bucks are in a better spot to not have Damian Lillard, but to have Ryan Rollins out there, assuming he remains in the starting lineup for you, it changes some things defensively, especially when, look, you're either going to be playing the New York Knicks or the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs, and you'd love to have somebody to throw out there and feel like you trust enough to throw out there on a Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, for that matter, that's going to be coming back from an ankle injury that's cost him going on a month now. Somebody to throw on Jalen Brunson, somebody to throw out there on Tyrese Halliburton. Ryan Rollins gives you that. I know he scored 23 tonight. You can't anticipate the offense to the level you did from Damian Lillard, but he changes the facets of your team, especially on the defensive side. And again, as long as you're banged up like this, and we've said it time and time again, you have to assume Damian Lillard is not going to be back this season. You can't just be waiting on Dame as Superman to come in and save the Bucks. You do feel like you're getting Jericho Sims back. We know Bobby Portis is going to be cleared to return 1 week from today. After you wrap up the road trip, you come back home to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, you get Bobby Portis back for the final four games of the regular season. So you're starting to introduce some pieces back that should help you in those rebounding areas. But you can't just wait on Damian Lillard to come back. So in that interim, you're going to have to win with your defense and grinding out games, and that's something that Ryan Rollins can really give you here. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as we're on ESPN Milwaukee this evening. Look, the other cloud's the wrong word to use here, but the big off-the-court storyline coming into this game tonight was Mike Budenholzer making his return to Milwaukee. It was a week ago, last Monday, that the Bucks were in Phoenix to play the Suns, and that was their first time seeing Bud. It had a different, strange tone, this whole experience. You know, you go back to last week, there were no local reporters here for the Bucks. The two beat writers that were out there, Jim and Eric, the TV and radio broadcast crew that was out there for the Bucks, you didn't hear any of those voices in that press conference asking Bud any questions after the game. And I was told the reason for that was, you know, the way those settings are is the media relations team for the home team. You got microphones for the home coach, so they dictate who gets the microphone to ask the questions. None of the Bucks guys, reporters, or team broadcasters were given the mic to ask Bud any questions. We heard one Phoenix reporter ask him, essentially, hey, what's this going to be like for you tonight? Going up against a Bucks team that you spent 5 years coaching, you won a championship with, what's this feeling like? And we heard from Bud, look, the players and the Suns, they don't care about my time in Milwaukee. Out of respect to them, I'm going to focus on this game tonight. I understand the question, but it's not my thought process. You get to tonight, and it was definitely a different setup because we talked about this after the Hawks game. You know, it's going to be different because you're going to have more media members that are here, that whether it be TV, radio stations, other local reporters, hey, get a quote from Bud talking about his time here. See what you can get from him. And they certainly tried. But it took on the same tone as what we heard in Phoenix, where Bud was asked twice and basically gave the response of, hey, I respect the question, but I'm more focused on this game and us winning tonight. He did not even entertain that question. I understand the Suns are fighting for their playoff lives. And look, the numbers suggest, especially after this loss this evening, the Suns are probably not going to make the playoffs. Think about that. You know, the Phoenix Suns with the expectations that came in, not just top six playoffs, the postseason period, the Suns are not going to be a part of it. They're 35-41 now. They're two games back in the loss column of both the Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. They do hold the tiebreaker over Dallas. But time's starting to run out. Kevin Durant's going to be out at least a week. Who knows when Bradley Beal's going to return? The math is not on the Phoenix Suns side. So in that sense, I get it, that Bud has larger things that he's focused on. But it seemed very odd. I don't want to speculate too much, but you can't help but wonder if part of the approach is, I don't know if I'd say it's still raw, but there's still not the greatest feelings of the way things went down. And as we all know, everything that Bud was dealing with off the court, to lose a sibling, but basically as he's walking onto the court to learn of that before game four in that first round exit against the Miami Heat, to be one of the more successful coaches in franchise history for the Bucks, to be one of two coaches that led the Bucks to a championship, to be the guy that, you know, at his introductory press conference used the words, too, unlocking things, unlocking Giannis, and turning Giannis. Not that it was all Bud's doing. I mean, as we've all seen now for the past decade, the work ethic that Giannis has and the drive that's in him, he was going to get there. And Bud's talked about this before, too. Guys like Giannis, they're going to get there. Those are the guys that are easy to coach because you know what the drive is. But it was a lot of what Bud installed here. Brook Lopez, another guy. When you think about, I don't know if you'd say the resurrection of his career, but where Brook Lopez was in Brooklyn, that one season he spent in Los Angeles with the Lakers, the Bucks signed him for the mid-level exception his first year here in Milwaukee. Nobody thought twice about it. The way Mike Budenholzer and the rest of his staff utilized him and turned Brook Lopez into the guy that he is now at this stage in his career, he accomplished a lot of great things here. And this isn't me trying to revisit or relitigate whether or not Mike Budenholzer should have been fired or what those decisions were, but the whole feeling and the whole vibe in that room, you could tell Bud was uncomfortable with those questions and did not want any part of it and did his best to avoid it. The only word that came to mind was, is there still some type of rift? Is he still upset at the way things went down here in Milwaukee? So I do think in many ways, you know, this wasn't the homecoming's not the right word, but this wasn't the return that we anticipated because of where Phoenix is, because of the fact that the Bucks were struggling with four straight losses as well. It was just the whole night kind of had an, oh yeah, there's Bud. Oh, by the way, there's Mike Budenholzer. Even the message the Bucks put up there, he did get an overwhelmingly positive response from the fans in the arena here. But even the, in passing, hey, Mike Budenholzer's back. Welcome back, Coach Bud. It didn't feel like it had quite as much gravity as I think we all anticipated when we circled this game on the calendar and wondered, what are the emotions going to be like? What's the feeling going to be like in the arena? I got to tell you, I didn't really experience any of that. I think for a number of reasons, and the most likely biggest reason is the way the Phoenix Suns are currently playing and how it really seems like they're limping to the finish. So it is an interesting spot. You know, for as much as we can harp on the four-game skid, the Bucks prior to tonight going 4-9 over the last 13 games and some of the struggles they've dealt with, it's much worse in Phoenix. It's so much so that who knows what the future holds for Mike Budenholzer. You know, the Phoenix Suns very well may fire a head coach for three consecutive off seasons now. That's how it's gone. And I don't see any end in sight. You didn't see Kevin Durant tonight. He's going to miss, as Bud confirmed before this game tonight, he's going to miss the road trip for the Suns. He's going to be out at least a week. And having to make up the ground that the Bucks have, or the Suns have to make up in that play-in tournament, it just feels like this is kind of it. And for a team that started 8-1 to limp to the finish line like this, it's been remarkable to witness. I was thinking about it earlier today, and man, what does this remind you of for teams that we've seen recently? I think people will point to, you know, that Lakers team that had Kobe and brought on Dwight Howard and Steve Nash, or even the Lakers team. I've heard people suggest, well, what about that team that brought on Karl Malone and Gary Payton? They still made the NBA Finals and lost to the Pistons. In some ways, it does remind me of the 2001-2002 Milwaukee Bucks, where you made that change in the offseason, and it's not a like-for-like. The big move the Bucks made was that trade of Scott Williams and brought in Anthony Mason, and that was a team that started out pretty well, and then the wheels just kind of started to loosen and fall off as the season progressed, very similar to what we're seeing with Phoenix, that 8-1 start. They've gone, what, I think 27-40 since that? That Bucks team, by the way, similar spot to Phoenix, and that's why I keep landing back on that 0-2 team of, that's what kind of what it feels like, that you started to get in these spots down the stretch where it was must-win game after must-win game after must-win game. And remember, the season ended in Detroit, the final game of the regular season. I don't remember what the margin was. I just remember it was a game the Bucks needed to win to get into the playoffs as the 8th seed. 1 year removed from winning 50 games and going to the Eastern Conference Finals. You needed to sneak into the playoffs as the 8th seed, and they were blown out by the Pistons and missed the playoffs. That's what it's feeling like when you look across the floor and see the Phoenix Suns tonight. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned Ryan Rollins. I do want to take a closer look at some of the numbers we've seen in these performances from Ryan Rollins of late. And I think the big one, the rebounding issues that the Bucks have run into. So when did it start? What stands out the most among those numbers? We'll get into that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Sloppy turnover some, but we're so close to being an incredible offensive team. I mean, we shoot 70% in the first half the other night. We shoot 68.9 tonight. Gosh, if we can just rebound the ball and take care of the ball, we got a chance to break out and make a hell of a run here. We really do.
Yeah, that's what we referenced from Doc earlier. Really standing behind. Look, the efficiency has certainly been there these past couple of games for the Bucks on the offensive end. And you know, when he mentions we're getting close to really becoming a great offense here, it's almost verbatim how we phrased it earlier in the season when the Bucks were 2-8 and said, look, we're close to turning a corner here and going on a run. I can feel it. Not that long afterwards, the Bucks did start to peel off some wins and pulled themselves out of the spot they're in. They stopped the dig. They stopped digging that hole that they put themselves in. I hope that's what we see here. And, you know, the type of looks that they get, it's just a matter of getting those consistently. I did think it was pretty interesting to hear Doc talk about Giannis in this game, because or after this game, because he's mentioned quite a few times, as pleased as he is with, and this isn't a but as pleased as he is with Ryan Rollins, he's quick to point out, look, he's not a natural point guard. We're still teaching him how to run an offense, and we've heard him say Kevin Porter Jr. is more of an offensive point guard. True point guard, I should say. But look, we've seen, make no mistake, we have seen Ryan Rollins move past Kevin Porter Jr. in the past couple of games. And I think that when we say we haven't discussed or brought enough attention to just how good Ryan Rollins has been of late, that's to me the biggest piece of it, is everything that's been placed in front of Ryan Rollins as a deterrent for him to get to where he is right now and the level that he's currently playing at. That's the remarkable part, and that's what he deserves the praise for. You know, to work himself into the rotation earlier in the season. When this team was struggling, there's an opportunity. Play the right way, make those plays, do some of the things that Ryan Rollins has done, especially on the defensive end. You're going to get a chance to earn some minutes here. He did that. Then the shoulder injury happens. And it happens in that first start against the Toronto Raptors, where you think, man, this guy just can't catch a break, that he finally gets this opportunity and now this injury hits. That's unfortunate. We heard Doc talk, I believe, after that game about what the next steps are for Ryan Rollins and hinting at, look, he's got two options. He can deal with pain and tough it out, or he can have surgery. If he has the surgery, his season might be over. And as we've, you know, obviously seen, Ryan Rollins opted against the surgery and just said, I'm going to gut it out. You watch him play, you can still see what he's wearing on that shoulder throughout the course of games. He's tough. You know, I don't think you can understate his toughness and what he brings out there defensively with some of these matchups. But he's carved out this role offensively. For as much as Doc has pointed out, he's not a natural point guard. I think we've started to see that progress even more these past couple of games. But hearing Doc say, look, with no Dame, we told Giannis you're the point guard. You got to put the guys in the right spot. You got to run the offense. And some of the things, like the ATOs coming out of timeouts and those dribble handoffs, just trust that the guys are going to be there. And Doc referenced a couple of those looks that Taurean Prince got to knock down tonight. If you have guys that are capable shooters, it's a big step to knock down an open look, especially in the playoffs. But that's the biggest thing, is what we mentioned, the defense that Ryan Rollins brings and creating open looks. Create those efficient looks, which the Bucks have had no problem doing the past couple of games. Do it in the playoffs, too, with that defense, and then you got something to build on here. But to finish that point on Ryan Rollins, you know, working yourself into the rotation early in the season, dealing with the shoulder injury, taking some time off, coming back from that, continuing to do everything asked of you, continue to play as hard as he did. Then the trade happens. And look, there's a couple of things that happened that I think started to, I wouldn't say derail, but I think that's when the conversations of, hey, is Ryan Rollins hit a wall, started to pop up, where the whole uncertainty that was hanging over Ryan Rollins' two-way deal. You know, when on this very show we would talk about it, Ryan Rollins has X amount of days left, availability left on his two-way contract. Like, the Bucks are going to have to create an open roster spot and do something here. And it's hard to assume that doesn't enter your thought process if you're Ryan Rollins, too, and wondering the same thing of what's going to happen with my contract. I'm a two-way guy. I can't play in the playoffs. I know they got Damian Lillard at the beginning of the season. You had DeLon Wright, too. But what's expected of me? You know, I asked him that tonight, too, after the game, and he brought up the defense. Like, I know it starts for me on the defensive end of the floor. That's the expectation that Doc Rivers has given me. So there's that. Then the Bucks make a trade to bring in Kevin Porter Jr. And I think in the interim, you saw a little bit of a step backward from Ryan Rollins. I don't know if that was just the, man, something else placed in front of me for me to overcome. Or, man, this team brings in another point guard when I feel like I'm starting to come on pretty strong. But Ryan Rollins, again, made the most of it and just said, look, I'm not going to pack it in. I'm not going to say, woe is me. I'm not going to say, well, Kevin Porter Jr. is the guy that surpassed me, so I'm back to the bench now. Ryan Rollins and other guys on this roster have done the same thing, too, when we look at Pat Connaughton. But Ryan Rollins stayed ready whenever he got those opportunities. It stood out. And again, he's moved past, in the way that he's played on both ends of the floor, he has moved past Kevin Porter Jr. in these past couple of games. So we need to continue to shine a light on what Ryan Rollins is doing here, and especially for a roster that has gotten younger at the trade deadline, but still an older group. To have a young piece like Ryan Rollins, you only got him signed through the rest of the season, still have some pretty good chances to retain him in the offseason. This is a very, very valuable piece to build around, and he could be one of the X factors for the Bucks in the playoffs, especially if he's going to consistently play like he did tonight. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I promise some of those defensive rebounding numbers and what the Bucks have allowed to the opposition on the offensive glass. When did this really change? What do the numbers suggest? We'll get into that conversation coming up next.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Hesitation. Giannis drives right at Richards and hammers it down with a monster right-hand slam. The Greek Freak bringing the thunder as the Bucks go ahead 60-53.
And oh, by the way, big game from Giannis as well. As much praise as we've heaped on Ryan Rollins, and rightfully so, for his performance tonight in the past few games, Giannis was great as well. 12 of 18 from the floor, 37 points, 11 assists. He had gone two straight games without a double-double. did not have a stretch of three games with no double-double this season, so he avoids that once again. And, you know, we just earlier in the show talked about the Bud component to this, and I saw a handful of people saying, I didn't think Giannis and Bud had any type of interaction. They did. There was a hug and an embrace, and they did have a pretty lengthy interaction after the game ended. But Giannis was great tonight. We heard from Doc Rivers, too, about the importance of Giannis running the show as the point guard in the absence of Damian Lillard. It wasn't a win without warts, right? There were still some areas that you need to clean up. And it's areas that we've seen bubbling up here for the Bucks of late. Two areas, really, in general. Turnovers, which ties into your transition defense and points off of turnovers, and the offensive rebounding. Mentioned before the game started, look, the Bucks. There's two things. You got to get off to a fast start, and you got to protect the ball. The Suns are going to turn the ball over. They've been in a stretch where they're turning the ball over a significant amount of times in each and every game here. So you're going to have those opportunities to get points off of turnovers and to get out there in transition tonight. You, in turn, have to protect the ball yourself. When a team is as shorthanded in terms of their offensive firepower as the Phoenix Suns are, you cannot give them those opportunities and gift wrap them those points and get them out in transition running and creating those easy baskets. It's what we saw the Bucks do once again. And to me, the most, I guess you would say troubling, but the thing the Bucks need to clean up the most is the other thing that we had talked about prior to the game, and early in the game for that matter, is, look, there's these two areas specifically on the stat sheet that will dictate a lot. And oftentimes you'll hear them referred to as the hustle points and hustle categories. But this is very telling, because these two things is how a close game turns into a blowout, and it's how a team that has deficiencies or is missing a lot of firepower and offense, is undermanned, isn't quite as talented, makes a game a close game or eventually wins a game. And that is the points off of turnovers and second chance points. Bucks were really, really destroyed in that category against the New York Knicks on Friday night. Atlanta Hawks held a huge advantage in that area on Sunday night as well. And tonight, the Phoenix Suns doubled up the Bucks in those two areas. If you combine points off of turnovers and second chance points coming from the offensive rebounds, Suns got 50 points off of those to just 25 for the Bucks. That's why this game was close. Despite the Bucks shooting nearly 70% from the field consistently, not just a hot quarter, all throughout the game, that's why this game was close. Because those second chance points are either putbacks at the rim, or they oftentimes turn into three-pointers. The Suns, by the way, hit 18 threes tonight, 18 of 45. And then those turnovers, especially when they're live ball turnovers, turn into fast break and transition points. And that's another thing that we saw. That's what has to change. Now, I'm not suggesting, look, all of this is just bad luck for the Bucks. To see what the Suns did tonight, that's the most incredible number you'll hear. The Suns had nearly as many offensive rebounds as they did defensive rebounds. 15 offensive rebounds in this game, 18 defensive rebounds. The Bucks only missed 23 shots, so there's not a lot of opportunities for defensive rebounds for the Phoenix Suns, and yet they still got them. But that's the biggest thing that needs to change. Some of it is bad luck. Where it's bad luck is those long rebounds, right? You take a three, you take a long three. It's a long rebound that goes out past the free throw line. It's just bad luck. That's the way the ball bounces. One of the other things that we've seen that's unfortunate luck for the Bucks, it's a combination of bad luck and scheming, too, is when teams get Giannis out there on a switch. You know, now that you're playing without Bobby Portis, without Jericho Sims, without quite as much size, where the Bucks would constantly have two or more bigs, if we're including Kyle Kuzma in that mix, on the floor at any given moment, you don't have that anymore because of the absence of those two names that we mentioned. But You see more teams trying to get Giannis switched on to perimeter guys for a specific reason. We've seen Giannis take on or have to take on some of those assignments too defensively. When that happens, you don't have those bigs near the rim. And that's another area where we see those offensive rebounds start to pile up when it's the team's big going up against some of your guards that are down there around the basket. So those are the unfortunate parts. It's not all bad luck that they've run into. And the big thing to me is the personnel. You know, if we look back at from the game the Bucks lost Jericho Sims forward. So after that game, what, against the Indiana Pacers, from that point forward, the Bucks now rank 27th in defensive rebounding in that stretch. This is a team that prior to that was tied for first in the league in defensive rebounding. They've gone from that to 27th. They've gone on the overall rebounding scale last in the league. They are still last on offensive rebounds. If you're 30th in offensive rebounding, 27th in defensive rebounding, you're going to be pretty bad in overall rebounding. And that's what we've seen as well. The Bucks have gone from middle of the pack to number 30 because there's no Bobby Portis, there's no Jericho Sims. You're just limiting the amount of bigs that you have that can control those possessions. You're not going to fix that, or at least start to fix that, you would think, until Tuesday when Bobby Portis is eligible to return. Look, hope is not a strategy. You hope those things start to turn around once you get those guys back on the floor. But that's the biggest thing to keep an eye on. I don't anticipate it's going to change all that much over the course of the next three games. But those final four games of the regular season, and then once you get into the playoffs, that's the biggest thing to circle and keep an eye on. You know, Giannis's performance, guys like Ryan Rollins that we mentioned before as well, Doc talking about ways they look to use Brook Lopez go forward. Those are all important, but how the Bucks rebound the basketball, that may be the most important thing in deciding just how far this team goes in the postseason. We'll wrap things up, get you set for Thursday night as the Bucks head to Philly to take on the 76ers after this on Bucks Talk.
A round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Here's a catch and shoot three, Rollins. He answers. What a moment. A career high 21 points for the youngster out of Toledo. He sticks the three. He has scored five straight.
Yeah, a great game by Ryan Rollins. A new career high with 23 points. It's the third consecutive game he set a career high in scoring. And most importantly, you snap a four-game skid, and you do it on a night where the Atlanta Hawks also lose. So you're five games up on the Hawks with seven games remaining. You feel pretty good that you're not going to fall into that play-in tournament now, and you look to keep things rolling with a schedule that starts to soften up heading into your final week of the season. You still got the Minnesota Timberwolves. You've got, obviously, those two huge games with the Detroit Pistons, and you got the Miami Heat, who have been playing better of late. But outside of those, your other three games, the Philadelphia 76ers, who are actively tanking, and two games with the New Orleans Pelicans, who have already shut down Zion Williamson and C.J. McCollum for the rest of the season. So you still got opportunities on the schedule to take advantage of here. And again, you can still get up to fourth. It may start to be getting a little late here, and you may be looking at, realistically, fifth or sixth. But fourth is still on the table. We'll see if they can keep it rolling Thursday night in Philadelphia against the 76ers. That game is a 6 o'clock tip-off from Philly Thursday night. 5:30 is when the pregame coverage begins on these stations. And as always, be sure to stick around once again here on ESPN Milwaukee after the game for Bucks Talk. Bucks and the Sixers on Thursday night. We will talk with you once again then.